Hey, my name's Emma.
Hey, my name's Maddie.
And you're listening to The Pilots Pandemic.
Avinola is a small batch gourmet granola that's made with grain and gluten-free ingredients. It's made from ancient lupini beans, which are filled with fiber and tons of plant protein. It's less than 1 gram of sugar and only 95 calories per serving. It's a zero guilt snack that checks all the boxes and loads of fiber to keep you feeling full. So Emma, what's your favorite part of Avinola?
Well, obviously y'all already know I love the chocolate, but the coconut almond vanilla is also very, very good. Besides just eating it straight out of the bag because it's that delicious, I love to make like a Greek yogurt bowl, bunch of Avinola, honey, berries, macadamia nuts, maybe some pecans. I don't know, whatever my little heart is feeling. But that is my favorite way to enjoy Avinola. And I especially love this company and this brand because A, it's a small business, and B, it is women owned and created. We absolutely love Maggie. And if you haven't already, go back and listen to her episode. But you guys can use discount code PILOTSPANDEMIC for 15% off your order of Avinola. So code PILOTSPANDEMIC.
Airfare, healthy snacks on the go. Airfare curates and delivers healthy snacks to flight crew, travelers, and aviation businesses. They've sourced more than 50 snacks from small businesses across North America. Hundreds of pilots love these snacks because they are healthy, unique, and have a long shelf life. And they're perfect for keeping you feeling great in the flight deck.
Our listeners can get 50% off their first order of customizable snacks using our discount code PILOTSPODCAST at checkout. So go visit airfarepouch.com to check out all the snack options and learn more. Again, that's airfarepouch.com to use our code PILOTSPODCAST for 50% off your first order of truly healthy snacks.
What's going on, y'all? You're listening to the Pilots Pandemic podcast. You're here with your host, Emma, and our lovely co-host, Maddie. I really need to think of something different to say because I'm over that. I'm over a lot of things, but I'm over that.
Are we leaving that back in 2022?
Yes. Okay. I have to. I'm like, need to get more creative with this, be more authentic.
This is your badass co-host, Maddie.
A queen, baddie, boss, per slay, period.
Period.
With a T, okay? With a T. All right, y'all. Well, we are solo today, and I'm going to apologize for the quality of this episode, if it even comes out, because in all transparency, Maddie and I are just not feeling this today. We're just, like, not feeling it.
I think it's just the end of year situation. You get to the end of the year and you're like all out of energy and there's so many excuses not to do anything that you just like, you just vibe with it.
I will say it's like, it's for me very much a situational thing. It's a combination of that and then a combination of the fact that there's like boxes all over my house and like gift wrapping paper and trash freaking everywhere, like some ridiculousness. Okay. We did Christmas last night and the amount of stuff that I have to take to the recycling, I'm just, oh God.
Why did you do Christmas last night?
Well, I have to work tomorrow night, right? Well, tomorrow night will be Wednesday night. I have to work in the afternoon, which is when we planned on doing our little Christmas, me and Zach, my boyfriend. And then I realized I was going to have to work, but we leave Thursday to go back home. And I'm about to sneeze. Bless me.
I thought you were like puking in your mouth or something.
Oh my God.
Reflux. I was like, what is going on?
I do be burping a lot. I think I have like GERD or something.
Ew.
What is GERD?
It's like, it's like a constant acid reflux. And I think it's just from, you know, not eating very well.
Well, but you typically
get it when you're older.
I did have gnocchi on like with gorgonzola and freaking sausage last night. I say I don't eat bad, but things that I make for myself, like I can't keep making the excuse that just because I cooked it at home from scratch, that it's like a good meal, like for me health wise, because I keep doing that. I'm like, well, it's not like fast food, or I could have gone to a restaurant and like had something processed. I made this from scratch.
But it is better than fast food. Like there is like tiers to the shit level of food, you know, like even though what you're cooking at home may be doused in butter, it's still better than, you know, a McDonald's burger.
Yep. True. True. Even though really recently I've been really feeling a Big Mac. Have you ever had a Big Mac?
Yes, dude. And I feel like I hate McDonald's. I don't know what it is. I think I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I just am not a fan. And you know, I'm a Taco Bell girl. I ride or die for T-Bell. So if I have a choice to go to fast food, it will always be Taco Bell.
So when I was little, I freaking hated McDonald's. Like I absolutely hated McDonald's. I thought the chicken nuggets were the worst. I was like, these taste like Fanta for some reason. Like I hated it. I literally hated it. I hated the clown. I hated the branding, everything. The entire package was just not it for me. I was a Chick-fil-A girly, right? But now that I'm older and I'm a lot more humble, I just, dude, I would, a Big Mac meal with a large fry and a Coca-Cola right now,
I think I traumatized myself for McDonald's because when I was a teenager, me and my friends were like coming home from a basketball game and we're like, let's get McDonald's. And our one friend who was driving was in college and he was going to school in California. He's like, this is like the cool thing that all the kids do in college. And it was, his idea was to get like the most stickiest, sugariest drink and the biggest size. And he said, you know, like, we're going to get this and then we're just going to throw it right back at the person in the window and like douse them with this drink. And at the time I thought that's going to be fucking hilarious. Now that I think about it, I'm like, that is the meanest thing I could have ever done. And so maybe when I go to McDonald's now, I'm just like triggered.
It's like it's a trauma response.
Trauma response, like reminding me how shitty of a person I was in.
God, the joys of being young. Christmas. I miss believing in Santa, man. That's when life was good, is when you believed in Santa. And I'll always remember how I found out I didn't believe in Santa. Like, and that day like really haunts me. Like everything about my childhood died on that day. And it was right before Christmas.
So how'd you find out?
Well, I mean, like I literally just walked into my cousin's room. One of my cousins was a lot older and we used to do these huge Christmas gatherings with my entire mom's side of my family. So it would be my three aunts or my two aunts and my mom, and then all of us cousins. So it was like a huge crowd. So there would be a shit ton of fucking presents. And I just happened to stumble into my cousin's room and that room was just like wall to wall to the ceiling, stacked full of presents. And it kind of hit me then and there. But what really topped it off was like, I picked up one and it literally said like to so-and-so from Santa. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, I know he doesn't come early. Like that's not part of his process. So...
So did you ask your parents and were they like, yeah, he's a fictional character?
No, I didn't say anything. I sat at the piano. They had a piano, right? And I don't know how to play the piano, but I just sat there and like played the piano for the rest of the day. Just like really, really sad notes on the piano. And I think at one point somebody did come up and ask me what was wrong, but I was just like, nothing, you know? I was kind of old to believe in Santa too. I think I was probably like 7 or 8. I feel like that's pretty old to be believing in Santa.
I know. I'm like surprised no one ever was like, dude, why are you believing in Santa? It ain't real.
Okay. Well, when your dad's an airline pilot and he's always telling you that he sees Santa.
I know, right?
Let's talk about the epidemic that is that shit right there.
I know, isn't there a Santa tracker on FlightAware too?
Yes.
Like, so yeah, I could believe that. Like, why?
I think it's oh God. I can't remember what the exact website is. I feel like it starts with an N, but I used to love that. We would sit there, me and my cousins, and we would watch that thing all night until we went to bed. And also, I think another reason why I really believed was because my parents were so good at it. Like, I mean, they really went the extra mile with like the footprints and the, I don't know, they just really did the whole charade. So I believed. I really believed.
I only really believed in Santa because my brother Ryan, one Christmas, and I think I was around the same age as you, he was like, I saw Santa. And I'm like, I don't fucking believe you. And he's like, no, really, Maddie, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw him. And since he said he saw him, I was like, dude, that it was wild. Like, now I believe. But I don't really remember like when I came to the realization that he wasn't real, but I always kind of thought he was a fictional character because you could never, I never saw him, you know, but
because I mean, I never saw him. Dude, that's,
I have to see to believe.
Seeing is believing. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Okay, we have to,
are we moving on?
We're moving on.
Okay, so you know, now that we've talked about Christmas and all that jazz, we're going to get into the more serious side of things. We haven't been able to catch you guys up on some of the avenues that we've been reading about, but the two major things we wanted to talk today about are the updates on both Charles Crooks and Corey Patterson. So Charles Crooks was the one who jumped out of his airplane. Well, we allegedly jumped. We don't know for sure if he did or not. And then Corey Patterson is also known as the Walmart flyer. And so, at least I've that's tagged fucked. Him as that.
Like,
I've tagged him as that.
That's so fucked. No, I mean, like, that's what they run with in the news headlines. It's like,
yep,
the Walmart flyer. Like, oh my God, like, why?
I think it's a great little name. But yeah, so the two updates on them we're gonna talk about for that. So, and we may speculate a little bit too. But
we may, we will.
We always speculate. So I'm just going to refresh you guys on Crooks' accident, just because if you weren't listening earlier, we had talked about that on episode 47. So this article is from WCNC Charlotte. And it says, co-pilot jumped from plane before emergency landing at Raleigh Airport. FAA says two FAA employees at RDU told 911 dispatchers that the surviving pilot reported his co-pilot jumped before an emergency landing. And the body of Charles Hugh Crooks, 23, was found the evening of July 29th in Fuquay Varina backyard, hours after the plane landed at RDU. Crooks was one of the two pilots on the CASA 212-200 airplane. So the NTSB did come out and say that it was an accident. And I'm not surprised that they decided to say that it was an accident, because with the NTSB, they sometimes report what they want to report. I kind of question like how they know like if it was an accident or if it was suicide. And that's kind of the deeper question. But the NTSB has been known to not give the full picture on reports, especially when it comes to pilots and their mental health. So my question for you is, what do you think about the final analysis coming out about the accident?
I don't know. There's like a lot that like I want to say, but the thing that's, I don't know. The thing that's hard about situations like these is, as much as I want to sit here and speculate, it's like, I don't want to be disrespectful to the family, and I don't want to be disrespectful about somebody who literally is not alive anymore. But the two things that come up in my, the one thing that comes up in my mind is if this was a mistake, if it was an accident, I just don't feel like at that point, like, how could you make a mistake like that? That just feels like not even something that would run through my mind with the little amount that I know about, like, your mindset changes when you become a pilot. Like, you become so much more safety orientated. I mean, for myself, but from what I see from others and just by talking to our guest, it feels like the common theme about all pilots is like, there is this safety readiness, safety preparedness. You're always thinking about, like, you know, you have to stay two steps in front of the airplane. Same goes for your situational awareness. I just don't. Yeah. It's one hell of a mistake to make. Like, I just don't, I don't know. It's really, really strange to me. I obviously don't want to sit here and be like, oh, it was suicide. But I don't, it just feels like not something natural to do in that situation, if that makes sense. And especially if you're not like wearing, wasn't the pilot in command wearing a parachute?
I know that they were like a skydiving outfit. So probably.
I feel like somewhere when I was reading in the beginning, like a lot of people were like emphasizing on the fact that one of them was wearing a parachute and the other one was not.
But also, like, to that point, it's a skydiving outfit that they're working for. So like when you open the back, like, you know, all the precautionary measures you're supposed to take if you do not have a parachute on you. And so that's why I find it really odd. Like, they're basing it off him not grabbing that handle and saying, oh, it was an accident. And it's like, but was it? Because he's the one who initiated the whole emergency takeoff go around. And he was making the calls, but like him looking over to his PIC and being like, sorry. And then just getting up and going out the back. It's just, it's very eerie. I don't know. It's unsettling. And like you said, like, I want to respect the family. I do. But with the NTSB, I think a lot of families who are not in aviation, they don't question the NTSB. They say, oh, this is a federal authority. They make the right decisions and they know the right decisions with accidents. But I do not trust the NTSB. They're governed by the FAA too. So it's just like the NTSB will make a final analysis based off what they want the public to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everything is so complex. Obviously, when accidents happen, it's like, how did that happen? But yeah, my condolences go out to his friends and family. I know that's like such a hard thing to have happen. And I hope that they're okay. But next, we move on to the unfortunate demise of Corey Patterson, also known as the Walmart Flyer. Like I said, he got a lot of hate for his mental health spiral because he was, he chose to land a plane after hours of threatening to crash it into a Walmart or into the ground. And he is a young man who is working as a fueler or like a ramp agent, I think. One day he decided to steal a plane that wasn't his. And from there, he flew to Tupelo, Mississippi, where he harassed a Walmart for hours, saying he would crash into it. So it was crazy when this happened because Emma and I tracked this flight in real time. And I really didn't think he was going to land the plane because I have been traumatized from the whole thing that happened at SeaTac. I think this is back in 2012 when it happened with Rich Russell. And he didn't land the plane he stole. He crashed it into a private like island. So when this happened in Tupelo, I was like, I can't believe Corey landed. I actually thought he crashed it into the ground when it was on FlightAware, and Emma told me like the plane is not on FlightAware anymore. I was like, oh my God, he killed himself. But he did not. He actually landed it. And so because of that, he was arrested on the spot, obviously. And Emma's going to go on and read a little news article.
Yeah, so a Mississippi airport staffer Yeah, which is him. He stole the plane, threatened to dive bomb it. We got all that. So I don't know when do we have a date on when this happened?
It's September is when, but I don't know the exact date.
Oh, okay. Well, I just break the sad news. Corey Patterson, 29, was discovered unresponsive guards at a federal prison in Miami on Monday. Don't know when this was. This is a couple weeks back. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons said, quote, responding staff immediately initiated life-saving measures. The Bureau said in a statement, staff requested emergency medical services and life-saving efforts continued. But yeah, this, so yeah, okay, he died. I don't know how to, sorry, the news is like, he was unresponsive. Yeah, he was unresponsive. He, just say it how it is, he died. And I guess, like, they really haven't come out and said why, what, or like what the situation was, but I mean, it would be safe to assume that he probably took his own life. I think for this one, I think that's what the narrative is right now.
Yeah, I think it is too, and I can't remember if we ever covered like what Corey's friend had said, because I had taken that Facebook like screenshot of what his friend had said, because she was like really distraught over everyone commenting on Corey and his mental health, and probably, you know, doling out threats to him and his family because of what he did. And they were like, you know, he is a good guy, he's my friend, and he is struggling with his mental health. She came out and said that, and my thought was, when he got arrested, I was like, he's not going to get the mental health care that he deserves to have because of his threats to kill people. And that's unfortunate, because I don't think that our society really thinks about like people in those situations when they're threatening to do those types of things. They are in a mental health spiral. We just equate them to like really bad people, and like they are murderers, you know? So it's hard to separate those things. And I think that's why our mental health stigma is so strong, is because we don't recognize when someone is having a mental health breakdown.
Until it's like way too late.
Until it's too late. And this man obviously killed himself, or I mean, we can't say for sure that he killed himself, but the way that the news is reporting, they're not saying that anyone else harmed him. So, and he was in prison when this happened. I'm thinking that he probably followed through with his plan, but in prison, because I think he realized like, I'm not going to get the help that I need here. So it's pretty unfortunate what all came together and happened for him.
Yeah. Were you expecting that?
I wasn't expecting him to go that quickly, I guess. Like, I knew that he was going to go into the prison system, and I was like, this is probably not going to be great for his mental health. But him just choosing to land the plane in the first place, I was like, that's one step closer to him saving his life, because he chose to live instead of die that day, knowing that as soon as he landed on the ground, he was going to go to prison. But I think once he realized the scope of what was happening to him, I think it all came barreling like back down again on him. Mm-hmm. I did not expect it. I was surprised that it happened. But then when I look at our prison system and the way that we deal with mental health, it's also not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, I don't really know like even what to say on this one, because it's like, I don't know, man. It sucks, because like, I was hopeful. I felt like, he could get through this. I don't know why I'm like trying to be the good cop, but I don't know. It's just sad. But I think everything that you said kind of nails it right on the head. I mean, what are you supposed to do in that situation? Like, obviously you probably felt hopeless. So, I mean, that one's so hard for me, because I'm like, man, like, why the Walmart?
I don't know. I think in one of the articles, he said he thought that Walmart's so big that they would be able to evacuate. Like he really said he wasn't planning on hurting anyone. And that's why I think he told people he was harassing Walmart. I don't really know. I wish I had the news article, because I remember them like quoting that, like he thought like they would evacuate the Walmart and it would all be okay. But it's just like when you threaten other people's lives, obviously it's a problem. So
yeah, I know that's the hard part. It's like, dude, you can't.
But then like the whole thing is like, what's hard for me is like, he's villainized for his mental health and the struggle that he was having. He was not able to get help. It seemed maybe like he had some flight training in the past, and maybe that was kind of weighing on him too, like knowing that he probably wouldn't be able to get his medical because of his mental health. But who even knows if he really realized that he was having a mental health struggle until he was up in the air? Because he did post on his Facebook while he was flying, like, this is my goodbye. Remember that Facebook post he made? So maybe he figured it out up in the air, because that's what happened with Richard Russell in the Q400 that he stole from SeaTac. Like, as soon as he got up and started talking to the air traffic controllers, he was like, yeah, guys, I always knew I had a loose screw, but I just never really realized it until now. And it was very sad to hear, like, because there's like a little desperation in their voice, you know, like, I think it all comes to a culminating point where, you know, you're in it and you're like, okay, I realize now that I needed help and I never got it. So instead I'm doing something very drastic, and it's really sad. And I think that whole Richard Russell black box recording can really give you some insight into someone struggling with a mental health problem, who does it, like, go and steal a plane and fly it. It's just like very hard to listen to.
I also think about like the context of where he is from, and you talk about like South, like some real stigma. Mississippi is, that's the South. That's the deep, deep South right there. Like, I've never been there and I don't know anyone from there personally, but like the, you know, just from what you learn about like how different states are, I would assume that there's definitely a stigma there about getting mental health help, especially for men. Like, that's the other big part of this, is like, we see like this common theme. It's always men, like, and that's not a coincidence. Men just, it's not open and talked about. Like, men are not supposed to, you're taught from like a young age, just like, boys don't cry. Like, men aren't supposed to have feelings. They're not supposed to be soft. And
you're reminding me of the TikTok guy who's the be a man guy.
Yes.
You know, have you seen him?
Yes. That is one of my favorites.
Jesse loves that shit.
Oh my God. I think I sent you like 5 of those one night and we were laughing about it. Those are really, really good. I should get him a be a man shirt. They have the Carhartt one. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
It's like the fake, it's like fake Carhartt, but it says underneath, be a man.
But it's true though. Like, the whole society does tell men to, like, you know, suck it up. You're a man, you know, and that whole machoism is just ingrained in their mindset. And so if they have a weak moment, then they feel like something's wrong with them, and they hide it. And especially with pilots, because they know that their career is in balance, you know, so they don't want to say anything.
Well, I have nothing more to say on this. I'm like sitting over here. I'm like, okay.
Emma's over it. She didn't even want a podcast today. But that means we're moving on to fun questions.
I don't know why. I think it's because we planned on doing this so many different times that, like, after we plan on doing something a couple of times and like, it just like, is it working out, or like we're busy, then I'm just like, you know, I'm over this.
Emma and I definitely are ready for a break, a Christmas break. But we have 3 more questions to answer before we're done for 2022. So, Emma, what is your go-to breakfast? She's like, I don't even eat breakfast.
A country ham biscuit with a fried egg and cheese. Oh, Lord.
That sounds delicious. That reminds me of the like Bojangles sandwich. It is Bojangles. Oh, it is Bojangles.
That's very Bojangles. That's like one of the best things on their menu.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
Actually, I have to agree with you. Like, if I'm going to have breakfast, like, I really enjoy like a breakfast type of sandwich, like something with eggs. It doesn't necessarily have to have meat on it, but now that I eat meat again, like, all the more merrier. But yeah, always eggs. I always have eggs for breakfast. I'm much more of like a savory than sweet person. So, and I'm pretty simple, honestly. I don't want breakfast to be a whole ordeal. So that's why I always cook like eggs and toast, because it's just nice and quick.
I feel okay. You on that. I like an egg sandwich too. Sorry, I'm sending you a picture of my country ham, egg, cheese, and biscuit that I had the other day. Oh, you'll receive it soon.
I can't wait to see it. So after breakfast comes the next question, which is your favorite Christmas tradition.
You go first. My mind's drawing a blank.
My favorite Christmas tradition. Ooh, this is a toughie for me. But me and my husband. Okay, so I have like a multitude of Christmas traditions, and most of them are with my family, or not my family, my friends. It's kind of sad. But that's because it's been hard these last couple years to go back home just because Jesse's work schedule. So we've created like traditions with our friends because they're so much closer. And I actually have two that I do with my friends. So one is I always go to the Nutcracker, the Burlesque Nutcracker, with two of my friends down in Seattle. And it's just fun to like dress up, get a hotel, have after party, you know, hang out. And then the second one that I do is, which I just got back from doing, is go to Salt Lake City and we go and see the Mormon Tabernacle choir sing. That's like the one thing that I've kept from my past life as a Mormon, that I like to go and see the Tabernacle choir. And thank God I scored tickets because, you know, I keep the connection with my ex-boyfriend and just say, oh, can I get some tickets? And he delivered.
To the Mormon Tabernacle choir.
Choir. Well, he actually used to sing in it, so that's why he has the hookup.
Oh, my God. Maddie, I'm sorry, but that is so funny. And I, for real, like, I'm going to joke you about that. That is so funny to me.
But my friend, he is obsessed. Like, when he sees, like, my ex or someone from the Tab choir, it's like celebrity eyes. Like, he's like, oh my God, because he loves like operas and concerts. It's just funny because like when I see those people, I just think they're like normal church members because I've gone to church with them. But for him, it's like this whole experience, like they're celebrities. But I will say that Christmas concert, like all that they have going on, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Damn, girl, sounds like they put on one hell of a performance.
Well, they got like the choir singing. They got the symphony playing all the music. They have a freaking narration, a person like kind of like reading a story while the music is going. Ooh, and then yeah, they have all these little kids doing like their like a play type performance. They're like dancing around, and then they have the organist. And if no one has ever seen an organist play, they play with their hands and their feet. So it's like a full body workout for the organist. And I'm just like so amazed it all comes together because there's just so many people involved. How do they make it work? But
anyways. And with that, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm gone. See y'all bitches next year.
Bye bye 2022.
Oh, literally. I mean, like, this is it. Like, is there anything that you want to say to the people?
I just want to say thank you guys, like, for your support, for following us. If you ever like shared any of our content or suggested the podcast to one of your friends or family or fellow coworkers, like, we really appreciate that because it does help us grow. It does help the message of mental health and of aviation grow. and it helps destigmatize mental health in aviation. So I am grateful for all of you for listening. And honestly, I'm just grateful for all the time that we've shared together building this Pilots Pandemic brand and getting to share our opinions and what we think change should look like.
Yes, Queen. That was so beautifully said that I'm not going to say anything. That was just like amazing. I love you. I love everyone listening. I love you. I love everything. I love it all. And I am truly so grateful. It doesn't sound like it right now, but y'all, for real, no cap, grateful as shit for all of y'all. I mean, like, listen, I know there are some real ones out there. I see you. I wake up every single morning after I drop it, and I see all y'all that flock. Y'all are either flocking like right at midnight or in the early hours of the morning. And I just absolutely love whoever you are. I love you. I love all of you. Again, I just love. We live and we love and we laugh.
Live, laugh, laugh. But you need to share the last thing that you should share is like the statistic of how much we talked.
Oh, yeah. So we did 4,446 minutes of content this past year, folks. And that is 98% than any other creator in our category. So. I'm like, okay. So
I think that's what it's telling us is that we just talk a lot, like a lot, which I think I knew that, but now it's just affirming that we talk a lot.
I know, but it's like, what is even a podcast if we're not going to talk? You know what I mean? It's like, at the end of the day, like, we got a show to create, baby. Like, we have talent. We have the gift of gab. Like, we're exactly where we need to be. And you're exactly where you need to be.
I was just thinking, though, that's the trackable time that we've talked, like recorded, but like the actual amount of time that you and I have talked is probably double, which is scarier.
It's probably close to like 10,000.
I know.
More than literally. That. I mean, think of all the times that like I FaceTime you or you FaceTime me just to fucking talk for hours because we're both bored and alone.
I think like our longest conversation was probably 4, maybe 5 hours.
No, it was definitely 5 hours. I think we had a good day there where I just took you along with me to do everything. And then we did chores and just, you know, kept each other company. And that's what true friendship is.
Yes, it is. I love
marriage
it.
Possible, babe.
Marriage possible for sure.
All right, folks, I absolutely love you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Sorry it was a little bit of a flop. I'm a flop even. Right now. I feel like a flop.
Take it back. Do not end 2022 this way. It is not a flop.
True, that's right. We can't go out on that bad energy. This was the best episode we've ever made.
It was pretty real, if you ask me.
Real,
tits and ass and titty. That's what we're all about.
Do your tits hang low? Do they wobble to the flow? To and fro or to the flow? Like, which one is it?
Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them?
Can you tie them in a bow? Period.
Can you throw them over your shoulder? And then I don't know after that.
If you can throw, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Feed a whole village. All right. I wish you had control so like you could just like end the recording. I don't know how to like politely like wrap this up. Hey, yeah, guys, and keep the blue side up and the brown side down. And don't forget to sign our petition.
Please and thank you.
All right. No, seriously, I love you all. And with that, a beautiful silent night and prosperity and like all of that good shit. And happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy motherfucking Christmas. Everyone. Oh, yeah. Happy New Year. All of y'all. Good night. Goodbye.